Greetings, everyone. I'm Declassified Dave, one third of the Hush Hush Society Conspiracy Hour podcast, and you're listening to Infinite Rabbit Hole.
Interesting stuff, dude. I think, man, if you're listening to this, tell somebody about it, because I think this is going to be one of the deepest rabbit holes we get into. This is a deep one. This is good stuff.
I'm both for and against altered states of minds and astral projection and all kinds of stuff. So I'm not entirely biased against this one. Like, as far as my believability that sort of stuff is real and that can actually be accessed.
That's nuts, because if you can get information to the right side of the brain without the left side filtering it, obviously, you know, when you hear something, it's got to go through the left hemisphere into the right hemisphere. You can basically trick your brain into thinking anything. Anything is true.
That enlightenment, that bliss feeling that they feel when they reach a certain point, you can essentially fake this or invoke this in the body using acoustic vibrations.
Or drugs. Dude, let's just do a documentary on hypnosis and get you over this fear of snakes.
No.
Yep.
Welcome to the Gateway Process. Welcome back to Infinite Rabbit Hole. Welcome back to the Infinite Rabbit Hole. I am your host, Jeff. We are picking up where we left off on the one before the last one that you're hearing, I think, if I understand how things are working.
Nope.
No? Okay.
The last
I don't
one.
Understand.
On the last that,
whatever.
One.
Anyways, we're picking it up with the Gateway Process, part two. So I hope everybody's ready for that. We've got Jeremy and Jacob with us. What's up, Jacob?
I was so pissed off before this. I lost the tool in the garage, couldn't find it anywhere, and then Whitney found it while I was waiting on the episode, exactly where it was supposed to be.
Sounds about right.
Man,
nice.
Rough.
Yeah.
Well, glad she found it. Jeremy, what's up, bro?
Not much, dude.
Nice shirt. Hey,
thanks.
You have the same shirt on that Jacob has on.
That's right. I had it on first.
Yeah.
And he ran off to go put it on, too.
That's true. He told me. He was like, let's wear the same shirt. And I was like, well, mine's blue. He's like, it's fine. Can't be the exact same.
I've never said that before in my life.
You did. You were like, let's be samesies. And I was like, I don't know, man. I don't know. People are going to look at us weird.
Samesies.
Samesies.
Right.
Yep.
I think people already look at you weird, but that for other reasons.
For loving Bigfoot?
That's some of it. That's some of it. Yeah.
I was totally going to say that. That's funny.
The shill part for sure. Has a,
shill part.
I'm not a shill anymore. Look, I have a beard.
He's an ex-shill.
I don't know, man. Once a shill, always a shill. That's what I always say. But, you know, it's all good, man. You got to have shills in your circle. That way you're getting alternate information.
Yes.
You know.
That's right. If you don't agree with the conspiracies about the government, you're a shill.
Oh, yeah. 100%. For sure, dude. Absolutely.
You shill scumbag.
But that's, you know, that's a episode for another time. But anyways, so back to the Gateway. Do you guys remember anything about the Gateway Process from the last episode?
Yeah, witchcraft, Satanism, that sort of stuff, you know. I remember.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So boring, Jake.
Dude, I'm falling though. Like last time, I'm not coming at this with a bias of this is fake. I think it's real.
All right, man. But, I mean,
and I like that they're getting into like the science of it.
That's what I'm looking forward to today.
It's all science, bro. All of it's science. Just to kind of recap, we talked about like the hypnosis, kind of the basics about how hypnosis affects the brain and the hemispheres of the brain. And we talked about meditation, same deal. We talked about, the biofeedback and all these kind of concepts, just to get an idea of like what the gateway process is. It's an altered state of consciousness that, from what it sounds like so far in the document, resembles a form of these things, hypnosis and so on, but it's not quite that. It's a little different, right? Yeah.
Well, let's learn about it, man.
Yeah, we're gonna learn about it, bro. I wanna learn. Calm down, dude. Chill, dude. We got plenty of time all night.
You know I don't know how to read.
Well, you better read along, because this is dense. So here we go. I'm gonna read this. Anybody listening, if you didn't catch it on the last one, this is a CIA document, analysis and assessment of gateway process. You can pull it up, read along if you'd like. That's pretty much what I'm doing, just reading through it. Right now we're on section 6, lamp versus laser. So let's get into it. Melissa Yeager uses a metaphor to help clarify the process involved in the use of hemisync in the gateway experience. Again, hemisync is the syncing of the two hemispheres to create this effect. She points out that the human mind in its natural state may be likened to an ordinary lamp, which expends energy in the form of both heat and light, but in a chaotic, incoherent way, which diffuses its energy over a wide area of rather limited depth. On the other hand, the human mind under the discipline of hemisync acts after the fashion of a laser beam, which produces a disciplined stream of light. The stream of energy is projected with total coherence of both frequency and amplitude, such that the surface area of a laser beam contains billions of times the concentrated energy found in a similar surface area on the sun. Gateway assumes that once the frequency and amplitude of the human brain are rendered coherent, it is possible to begin accelerating both so that the human mind is soon resonating at ever higher vibrational levels. The human mind can then bring itself into synchronization with more sophisticated and rarefied energy levels in the universe. I want to stop right there for a second, because that sentence, the mind when operating at these increasingly rarefied levels is assumed to be capable of processing the information. Oh, wait, did I go too far? I was like, stop, let me read that sentence again. And then I read the next sentence. The mind can then bring itself into synchronization with more sophisticated and rarefied energy levels in the universe. So when you're in this hemisync state, you're accessing, like, I mean, literally word for word, increasingly rarefied, sophisticated and rarefied energy levels in the universe. So you're tapping into like this universal, what I would say is like the universal matrix, right? Does that make sense to you guys?
No.
Sort of. Vaguely it does. I like the metaphor that they use in this section, you know, and that's another thing that I want to reiterate from the last episode, is that this is a CIA government. This is a CIA document. Sorry, mine's not working today. A CIA document. This is so some money, time, effort by somebody in the CIA was put into this, enough to be able to put out an entire document. How many pages is this, Jeff? Do you know?
The PDF is 29 pages, so call it 25.
A couple diagrams and stuff in there. Yeah, it's a
25 pages.
It's pretty cool, right? So you got to look at this as there definitely could be some validity here. Like I was saying, I like the metaphor. I like how, you know, they were talking about how light coming from a lamp is all scrambled and it's just kind of going off in every direction, where a laser beam is focused in on one particular direction, and it's so condensed and focused. I see the parallels that they're trying to make there with the mind and the light. Do I believe it? I don't know. I still want to have some questions answered from last week. Like, what are they calling dimensions? Which I know we're going to get to at some point here soon, which is really, really cool. And then I got to know about this fucking egg, man. Got to know
about
it.
The cosmic egg.
The cosmic egg, my dude.
Yeah, dude. We might get that far. I don't know if we'll get to the end, but we'll see.
What about an LED light that doesn't produce heat?
It still produces heat. It's just a lot less.
Mm. So you say.
It's a diode that emits light. Hmm. Some might say.
So same, same? Okay.
Same, same, but backwards.
Same, same.
All right, well, let's just keep going, because there's more that's pretty
I don't have enough brain power for most of this stuff, so that's I like fine. It when you kind of like break it down and say, this is okay. What this means.
Well, basically what they're saying, is when you do the hemisync, right, when you have both hemispheres of your brain synced up, right, on the same frequency and all that good shit, that your brain, instead of putting out brain waves and energy in this sporadic 360 version that doesn't go very far because it dissipates, when you're in hemisync, it focuses this energy like a laser beam, mm-hmm. right, in a way, so that you're now accessing different. And again, it's not, it's just a metaphor, like Jeremy said. It's right. Not like you're literally pointing a laser beam. It's just.
You got lasers shooting out of your third eye.
Yeah, your mind, your consciousness is just focused, laser focused, right? Mm. So anyways, let's keep going. To achieve, here we go, section 7. So frequency following response. To achieve synchronization of brain hemispheres, the hemisync technique takes advantage of a phenomenon known as the frequency following response, FFR, which means that if a subject hears a sound produced at a frequency which emulates one of those associated with the operation of the human brain, the brain will try to mimic the same frequency pattern by adjusting its brainwave output. Therefore, if the subject is in a fully awake state, but hears the sound frequencies which approximates brainwave output at the theta level, the subject's brain will endeavor to alter its brainwave pattern from the normal beta to theta levels. Since the theta level is associated with sleep, the subject concerned may progress from a fully awake to a sleep state, provided that he does not consciously resist, as the brain strives to entrain its wave frequency output with the one which the person hears. So just to summarize, if you could be fully awake, beta brainwaves, if a theta brainwave is introduced, your brain will try to mimic that, and it'll put you in like a theta state even though you're fully awake. That's basically what it's saying. Since these brainwave frequencies are outside the spectrum of sounds, which can be heard in pure form by the human ear, hemisync must produce them based on another phenomenon known as the brain's capacity for deducing beat frequencies. If the human brain is exposed to one frequency in the left ear, which is 10 hertz below another audible frequency which is played in the right ear, rather than hearing either of the two audible frequencies, the brain chooses to hear the difference between them, the beat frequency, thus availing itself of the FFR phenomenon. And using the technique of beat frequencies, the gateway system uses hemisync and other audio techniques employing the FFR phenomenon to introduce a variety of frequencies which are played at a virtually subliminal, marginally audible level. The objective is to relax the left hemisphere of the brain, place the physical body in a virtual sleep state, and bring the left and right hemispheres into coherence under conditions designed to promote the production of even higher amplitude and frequency of brainwave output. Audible and perhaps subliminal suggestions by Bob Monroe Company, the various brainwave frequencies, which are sometimes rolled in together with other sounds, such as sea surf, to mask the sound frequencies where desirable. In this way, Gateway endeavors to provide the subject with the tools to which he may alter his consciousness based on his own volition over time through the repetitive use of the tapes, so as to access, via intuitive means, new categories of information, not available to ordinary consciousness.
So the goal is to process the world around you in theta waves.
Kind of, yeah, in a way.
So to kind of go over this particular piece of information with people that may not be familiar with brainwaves, right? So there's frequencies, which is basically a sign. It's a sign formation, up and down waves, right? If you're looking at an oscilloscope, did I say that right, Jake? Oscilloscope? Oscope? I know it's called an oscope. I don't know what, anyways. There's like five different kinds of brainwaves, beta, alpha, delta, theta, and gamma. And they kind of go in order of most condensed, loud, to least condensed and quiet. And to kind of just break that down, right? It's been a minute, but beta waves are like your normal awake consciousness, right? This is the stuff that you use when your eyes are open and you're going about your everyday life. Alpha waves is when you're awake, right? But you're drowsy. This is the time when you're having forgetfulness, cloudy. Yeah. Delta, this is deep sleep. Okay. And I'm pretty sure that it is, there's no like control over your body. There's no dreaming. There's no nothing. This is the deepest sleep that you can get. For those that don't know, REM is actually the beginning and end of sleep. It's not the whole reason why we're sleeping. We actually enter a part of our sleep where we don't dream at all. And this is the deepest sleep that you can have. Your body is completely shut down. Your brain is fixing itself. And this is when it's in the delta waves. Theta waves are from like people who meditate, light sleep. This is when you have your REM and your dream state. You know, you're very, very relaxed, but you're semi-conscious. I think the words that I learned was a reduced consciousness. And then gamma, this is when you're in like fight or flight mode, when you're wide awake and all your senses are running on full blast and your heart's beating a mile a minute. This is when your brain is on gamma. Now, a lot of the thought times, this stuff doesn't really make too much sense because it doesn't, so beta brainwaves are your typical ones, and those are the loudest brainwaves if you're familiar with frequencies, right? These are the ones that just go up and down, really, really fast. And then eventually when you get to, let's say like gamma waves, it's almost a flat line. Okay. The sine waves that are on these particular waves are very minute, not noticeable pretty much at all. But this is when you're laser focused. Theta is right below gamma, where gamma is you're so focused and so awake, and theta is literally the complete opposite. It's that step right above the deepest sleep that you could get. That's why the brain waves kind of don't make too much sense. If you just look at, you know, I'm sure there's diagrams. We could probably find diagrams on it.
Let me help you out.
Yeah.
So basically the theta state is when you're either in a sleep state or in like a meditative state. That's when you're most suggestive. Or suggestible. Yes. Okay. So yeah. This gateway experience is putting you in this theta state in that hemisync procedure or process, I guess, is just amplifying the ability for your mind to project the, you know, that frequency that you're accessing in that state out into the universe so that you can then receive information out from the universe. Just like we're doing right now, I'm receiving information looking at the screen. I'm receiving the light information into my eyeballs, decoding it into my brain. I'm receiving information from the universe. That's how I know I'm in reality, right? This process is just basically laser focusing that, and now we're going to access other parts of reality that we can't see, other dimensions, if you want to use that term. And that's basically where we're at. Now, this section in particular is talking about binaural beats. This beat frequency, this frequency in between, playing one frequency in one ear and another frequency slightly off in another ear, slightly different frequency, your brain is going to listen and hear the difference. It's not going to hear either one. And that difference is going to bypass your brain's basic like safeguard mechanism to keep you from going into this hemisync state. So binaural beats is what these hemisync tapes are. And anybody can listen to binaural beats like on Spotify, right? You can go listen to binaural beats for sleeping, focus, all kinds of shit. Who knows if they work? I can make them right now and tell you that they work and post them on Spotify. So who knows? But it is a thing.
What brain waves do you experience when you are experiencing sleep paralysis?
That's actually probably going to be confusion of two.
Delta.
You're probably in a theta state, I would imagine, at some level.
I don't know about theta. I think it would be more or less alpha. Probably alpha and. Alpha and theta. That makes sense. Alpha and theta. And, you know, just for anybody listening to this, I could absolutely be wrong. It's been a while since I've looked at this stuff. So I could definitely have had this stuff mixed up. One of our very earliest episodes was going to be the split brain that I referenced in the last episode. And I did a lot of research on brain waves and everything because that was very important in those studies. So, I mean, this is the show is over 2 years old now. And that was one of the very first things I looked at. And I haven't looked at anything since. So very well could be incorrect on a lot of this stuff. But I'm pretty sure
you were mostly right. But yeah, I mean, the gist of it is you're like I just said.
Yeah, it's hard for people to recognize that our brains don't work in a linear fashion, right? It's not like you don't just think, right? Your brains are actually working at a frequency. It's a frequency. It's not like, man, it's closer to a radio signal, right? And that's really a bad analogy of it. I honestly don't have a better way to explain it, but that's the best I can.
Good enough.
Good enough.
You guys ready to move on to the next
part?
Say
about it.
Cool. Perfect. That's exactly what I like to hear. And excuse me, everybody, I just sneezed like 12 times in a row for no reason, so you might hear me sniffle into the mic.
It's the government.
It is the government. It's the
chemtrails.
They just
shill, everybody.
Actually, the mosquito truck, you know, that sprays the shit, just drove by like right before we started recording, dude. I'm telling you.
Yep.
I'm breathing in the nano I'm not going to get into it.
They got you, bro.
Yep.
Got him.
Anyways, so here we go. Let's get to the next section. Section 8, role of resonance. However, brain coherence through entrainment to beat frequencies introduced via stereo headphones is only part of the reason why the gateway system works. It is also designed to achieve the physical guide tune characteristic of deep transcendental meditative states, which brings about a complete alteration of the fundamental resonance pattern associated with the sound frequencies produced by the human body. Yoga, Zen, or transcendental meditation, if practiced long enough, will produce a change in the sound frequency with which the human heart resonates throughout the entire body. According to Bentov, this change in resonance results from elimination of what the medical profession calls the bifurcation echo, so that the sound of the heartbeat can move synchronously up and down the circulatory system in harmonious resonance approximately 7 times a second. Remember when I was talking in the first episode about your heartbeat creating this resonance that goes down, up and down your body? This is what this is talking about, having this seven, I forget the word that they just use, per second, right? 7 rotations a second, whatever they want to use. So
bifurcation echo.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Bentov describes the role played by the bifurcation echo as follows. When the left ventricle of the heart ejects blood, the aorta, being elastic, balloons out just beyond the valve and causes a pressure pulse to travel down along the aorta. When the pressure pulse reaches the bifurcation in the lower abdomen, which is where the aorta forks in two to go into the legs, part of the pressure pulse rebounds and starts traveling up the aorta. If in the meantime the heart ejects more blood, a new pressure pulse is traveling down. These two pressure points will eventually collide somewhere along the aorta and produce an interference pattern. By placing the body in a sleep-like state, the gateway tapes achieve the same goal as meditation in that it places the body in such profoundly relaxed state that the bifurcation echo slowly fades away as the heart lessens the force and frequency with which it pushes blood into the aorta. The result is a regular, rhythmic sine wave pattern of sound which echoes throughout the body and rises up into the head in sustained resonance. The amplitude of this sine wave pattern, when measured with a sensitive seismograph-type instrument, is about 3 times the average of the sound volume produced by the heart when it is operating normally.
So I'm seeing a trend, which is something that you alluded to in early in the previous episode, is that all of the frequencies in your body being aligned, right? Whether it be your the two hemispheres, your brain, your circulatory system, everything. And it sounds like from the previous one, the previous paragraph, is that not only is it to get everything in synchronized, you know, being synchronized, but also they want to be synchronized on the theta waves. So by using these tapes, apparently you can get your heart to be synchronized into a theta wave. And then as long as you can do this hemi-sync thing where you can put both your both hemispheres of your brain into a synchronized theta wave, then it sounds like that's really the gateway process. That is you opening yourself up to the ultimate experience, is what it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a few things, right? So think about like a crystal glass is a good example. Most people mm-hmm. recognize this. A crystal glass, everybody's seen people roll their fingers around it and it makes that beautiful yeah. sound. People make music with it. You know, it's just that resonance that's making that sound and that frequency. Yeah. And then people have seen if you get the frequency just right, you know, the glass will explode, right? Because right. that frequency is now disturbed. So this whole process is like you're saying, and it's not just your heart, it's the resonance, it's the vibration that's happening from that pulse when your heart beats that goes down to your lower abdomen and comes up. And as it's coming up at the same time, another pulse happens. And if you can have this timed right, if your heart is beating at the right frequency perfectly, you know, you'll create this resonance similar to that glass resonating, and you will resonate at the same frequency again, like you said, that your hemi-sync, yeah. that your brain waves are
yeah. and you'll break at. Yeah,
and you will break, well, you won't, well, you'll break your you'll break reality, right? And that's what we'll get yeah. into later with all this shit, you know, traveling through time and all this crazy shit, is that you're breaking reality, you're breaking the simulation when doing this, you know.
So how do you come out of something like that? You listen to these tapes and then you go into this super, you know, trance-like state where everything's vibrating at the same time. Do you have to have a buddy there to shake you awake?
No.
Or are you just going to be laying there, just you got TV on, everything, the news is playing, you're just sucking it into your frontal cortex
and just
believing everything?
No, it's probably harder to hold that state than it is to get stuck in that state.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're using outside sources, right? These hemi-sync tapes, You know, you have to be, or you have to be meditating, like to be very focused, right? And even they were saying that these Zen masters, right, these meditation masters could only hold this state for like 15 minutes. They could do it at will because they're masters, but they could only hold it for like 15 minutes. So I don't think getting stuck is not, it's not an acid trip, you know?
So no putting on John Wick and then doing this and then somehow I'm able to just do what out. John Wick does.
Yeah.
Speak nuts. Russian all of a sudden. All right.
No, but I think that, and you know, it'll get into a little bit of this, but I think that going back to that first idea of the Akashic records, I think that when you're in this heightened state and you're able to access, like it said already, you're accessing new information in the universe. You're accessing these altered, these alternate rare informations in the universe when you do this. I think that in doing that, you can get information, right? Like the guy who discovered the double helix, like the DNA strand, right? He knew what it looked like. I think, if I'm not mistaken, he was on acid or a mushroom trip or something, like some psychedelic experience, right?
No
but again,
idea.
He's in this kind of state. And it's like I was talking about with the flow state. When you're in this high vibrational state, information can come to you. This is how artists work, right? This is how even...
podcasters, super, yeah.
Well, like geniuses and shit, you know, like people who are geniuses doing mathematical equations and in engineering and all kinds of shit. Like sometimes you'll hear them say in interviews, like this comes to me in these states when I'm working out or when I'm whatever.
Tripping on acid.
Yeah.
Matt Damon. Yeah.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
Wonder if Elon Musk does acid. So then acid and then he's just
Why
like
not?
An electric car. In space.
It came to me from the universe.
Yeah.
Who knows, man? Maybe.
I Twitter came to me from the universe.
So, no, you're not going to download. It's not the Matrix. You're not going to download Kung Fu and become John Wick by accessing this info.
Then this sounds stupid.
But you may download some information that inspires you to get off your ass and go to the fucking gym and become John Wick.
Well, then
you know
I'm
what I'm saying?
That shit.
Yeah, that sounds really boring.
All right, anyways. Well, let's get on to another section. We're already further than I thought we'd get, so let's just keep going, see how far we can get. Brain stimulation, section 9.
I like this.
Bentov's biomedical model shows that this resonance is of considerable importance since it is directly transmitted. Let me just start that over because I'm fucking up. Bentov's biomedical model shows that this resonance is of considerable importance since it is directly transmitted to and impacts upon the brain. The resulting vibration is received and transmitted into the brain itself via the fluid-filled third and left ventricles located above the brainstem. An electromagnetic pulse is then generated, which stimulates the brain to raise the amplitude and frequency of brainwave output. Just as Dr. Twemlow observed in his research on the effects of the hemisync tapes. Also, the brain is contained in a tight membrane called the dura, which is in turn cushioned by a thin layer of fluid located between it and the skull. As the coherent resonance produced by the human heart in a state of profound relaxation reaches the fluid layer surrounding the brain, it sets up a rhythmic pattern in which the brain moves up and down approximately 0.005 to 0.01 millimeters in a continuous pattern. The self-reinforcing character of resonant behavior accounts for the body's ability to sustain this movement despite the minimal level of energy involved. In this way, the entire body, based on its own micromotion, functions as a tuned vibrational system which transfers energy in a range of between 6.8 and 7.5 hertz into the Earth's ionospheric cavity, which itself resonates at about 7 to 7.5 hertz. Of this process, Bentov states, this is occurring at a very long wavelength of about 40,000, I don't know what km is. Jeremy,
kilometers.
You know
kilometers.
Oh, I thought so, but I thought this was electromagnetic shit. Okay. So this is occurring at a very long wavelength of about 40,000 kilometers, or just about the perimeter of the planet. In other words, the signal from the movement of our bodies will travel around the world in about 1/7 of a second. through the electrostatic field in which we are embedded. Such a long wavelength knows no obstacles, and its strength does not attenuate much over long distances. Naturally, it will go on through just about anything, metal, concrete, water, and the fields making up our bodies. It is the ideal medium for conveying a telepathic signal. Consequently, the gateway process is designed to rather rapidly induce a state of profound calm within the nervous system and to significantly lower blood pressure to cause the circulatory system, skeleton, and all other physical organ systems to begin vibrating coherently at approximately 7 to 7.5 cycles per second. The resulting resonance sets up a regular repetitive sound wave which propagates in consonance with the electrostatic field of the Earth. So basically, again, when you are in this state, right, we talked about first your brain waves are vibrating at this certain frequency. Now your heart, bifurcation, whatever the fuck they call it, that's vibrating. Now your body's vibrating at this specific frequency. Oh, and guess what? The Earth's electromagnetic field shit is the same frequency, and we are vibrating and attuning to that when we do that.
So, okay, this is kind of where I'm getting, I'm starting to get ready to jump off the bandwagon on this one. This one's tough. Basically, this was a long way of saying that your body is a natural amplifier, right? So, which I don't believe, you know, I don't believe that your entire body can vibrate at a certain frequency to match with your brains and your hearts and everything. And we were on track. Like I was starting.
It's not your whole body. It's the oscillation of this vibration and frequency happening from your heart and your brain. All this. It's not like you are physically like.
No,
Jeremy, you've never released such an incredible fart that you fell at one with the universe.
Never mind. Yes. No, but I don't, the way that they're describing it, I don't see how the body could be an amplification tool, how they're talking, right? And to get our body to vibrate at 6.8 to 7.5 hertz, right? And then that matches the Earth's ionosphere energy, which is 7 to 7.5 hertz. Okay, you know, maybe we can get our brain waves and our you know, our heartbeat to match that wave. And then there could be a connection to the Earth that way. But as in an amplifier where your heartbeat is causing the fluid around your brain to cause your brain to vibrate at a, you know, very minute wavelength or, you know, very minute motion. And then there's sacs in your brain that basically act as amplifiers, and only this vibration can activate it. It's weird, strange. I think there's too many things going on in this one, you know. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm absolutely wrong. But you know, I mean, it is something. This is a document that comes out by the CIA. So, you know, maybe they know something that I don't. I'm sure they do. There's, you know, way smarter people in the world, especially in the CIA, than myself. So maybe I don't. The science on this one isn't there for me.
I think it's just a dense way of getting to the point, and I think that makes it a little bit more harder to swallow. But in my way of understanding this is like, okay, so like I play guitar, right? So anybody who plays a stringed instrument will understand this. I have multiple guitars hanging up. If I flick a string on one guitar, I'll hear the sound. I'll hear it vibrating and hear the sound. But if I listen closely and put my ear up to one of the other guitars I didn't touch, the strings are also vibrating now because of that frequency, right? That vibration is permeating through the air, and now it's affecting the other strings, which are now starting to vibrate. My way of understanding this is it's something kind of similar to that, where we're vibrating at a certain frequency, the Earth is at a frequency, and once we can kind of sync up those frequencies to a certain point, now we're at a point to where we're accessing this. Like they said, it's a way for instantaneous telepathic communication.
Right, but the hollowness of a guitar and then the little hole where you strum, that is an amplification tool. Without right. that, you know, if you just have a solid piece of wood there, you don't have an acoustic guitar. You just have noise.
Even with electrics, it happens. It's just very slight and minute. You still can't hear it. Maybe right. like my cat can hear it for sure. You know?
Right. I get it. And I totally understand the whole idea of waves, right? I totally understand plucking the guitar string, and other strings in the room are also now vibrating, you know, nowhere near the same level as what you just plucked. But yes, you know, I totally get that. But without the amplification caused by that, the hollowness of a guitar, then you don't have that effect. And it's the same thing that I'm talking about here with humans, right? I just don't think that we have the tools to amplify brainwaves or our own sine waves out into the universe. I just don't think that that's possible. Now, anything that's internal to you, you know, whether it be healing or, you know, going on a magic carpet ride while you're, you know, in this meditative state, okay, I'm on board. I just don't see how we can create our own body as an amplification tool by the process they outlined in that paragraph.
Sounds like hollow earth theory.
Hey, now maybe. Maybe.
Just saying. That maybe. Hollowness, right? In a guitar.
Yeah, could be a connection there.
Yeah. There could be.
Or it's a flat earth and it's like a big drum, I don't know, skin or whatever.
Going a little farther.
Well, what do you know? You've never been to space.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely hear what you're saying, and I'm with you. I mean, like, I haven't gone through the Gateway experience, so I don't know that the shit works. But I'm going to go through this just assuming that this document is legit as fuck and that like what they're saying is true. I know that they're not providing like the peer reviewed science behind mm-hmm. some of the shit. So it's hard to just say like, oh yeah, for sure it works. But I can assume that based off of what this is and what they're saying in it, and then off of my life experience of other people that I've seen online with their videos and gurus and these other people and shit, I do think that this is doable, you know.
Yeah.
But who knows?
I think that I'm kind of sort of latching on, although I do believe that there's something to this. I am somewhat latching on to what was said last episode, which was this is like Cold War time frame when this document was, or this research was done. Maybe this is just, you know, a bunch of science-y words just to trip out, you know, whoever's going to read it on the other side of the earth. And then on the other side of that, you know, people lie quite frequently. So, I mean, just because some guy on a video says that he can do this, I mean, unless there's, you know, hardcore proof of it, some people just lie just to, you know.
Well, it's not just that. It's the thousands of years of documented evidence of people who have lived and who have apparently been able to achieve these states of consciousness.
Some people say that you can speak monsters into existence, you know?
Again, I'm not saying that it can. I've not done it, so just that's my disclaimer.
You won't let go of that.
I haven't done the shit.
It's ridiculous.
But, you know,
I think people that can't control their own hiccups can apparently speak monsters into existence.
Hey, everybody. Bear with us while we take this quick break.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But
idiots,
I digress.
All of them.
But I digress.
Fools. All right, listen, we'll keep going if you guys are ready.
Dude, I'm down.
It sounds like you're ready.
All right, I like your big words, science man. I can't believe you didn't know about the kilometric mega waves, though. That's kind of...
Yeah, man, my bad, dude. I totally should have known about that. Should have been, you know... whatever.
As soon as they said about the width of the planet, you should have known 40,000 kilometers. I mean, that's big. That's the Earth.
You know, I'm glad I have a background in electronics, so I'm not completely lost in the sauce talking about high frequency and hertz and wavelengths and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
Because if I hadn't been, oh, man, I'd be sitting here like, why am I even on this episode? you know?
It's dense, man. This is dense info.
It is dense. And I just can't get over the fact that somebody was paid a lot of money in the CIA to sit down, study this, because they don't just put out a document just to do it, right? And, you know, I know that, Jake, you had that argument that, you know, this is in the Cold War time frame, and this could have been put out there as a way to distract.
You're going to tell me that the government doesn't just spend money just to spend money? Come on.
Oh, yeah, they do.
No, I get that.
It's the end of the fiscal year.
We've got
10,000 rounds we need to get disposed of. Let's blow them up in the desert.
Like, September 27th.
So we don't lose our budget for next year. Yeah. We're going to pay some science guy to make up a bunch of jargon and some like document.
Show this. Everybody listening needs to pull this document and show it to your parents, because your parents paid for this.
Yep.
This document.
Yeah, true.
So
true or false, in the content of it, this was paid for by the American taxpayers.
True.
All right, now that we got that out of the way, whether
it's actually like real or fake, you know, the time it took to put this thing together was paid for by the American taxpayer.
Yeah,
that's it. So
also true.
Let's just assume that it's real for the sake of argument. Okay.
Okay.
But anyways, let's keep going, because we're getting into the good shit.
Throw out those words, science man.
Well, yeah, we're about to end this episode.
Yeah. So, and we're just about to get to the good shit. All right, so here we go. Section 10, energy entrainment. As the body is turned into a coherent oscillator vibrating in harmony with the surrounding electrostatic medium, the specific exercises included in the gateway tapes enjoin the participant to build up the energy field surrounding his body, presumably by using energy from the Earth's field, which the body is now entraining because of its ability to resonate with it. This puts the body's energy field into homogeneity with its surrounding environment and promotes movement of the seat of consciousness into the surrounding environment, partly in response to the fact that the two electromagnetic medians are now a single energy continuum. Thus, the same process which moves the brain into focused coherence at steadily higher levels of frequency and amplitude so as to entrain analogous frequencies. I don't even know what that word means. So analogous frequencies in the universe for data collection also promotes enhancement of bodily energy levels to a point adequate to permit the subject to experience an out-of-body movement when he is ready to do so. More will be said about this topic later. In addition, by resonating with the Earth's electromagnetic sphere, the human body creates a surprisingly powerful carrier wave to assist the mind in communication activity with other human minds similarly tuned.
It's a
analogous, comparable in certain respects.
Analogous,
typically in a way which makes clear the nature of the things compared.
Yeah, it's the same as samesies.
Samesies. They saw the relationship between a ruler and his subjects as analogous to that of a father and children. Hey, quick question. What do you call it? The Akashic Records? Is that how you pronounce
it? Yes, Akashic, yeah.
Akashic. Is that people that believe that you can go into this trance-like state and access the Akashic Records, would they have any sort of, like, Jeff, do you think that people can do that?
Yes.
Would you have any reservations to the idea that someone in the government or people in the government have accessed the Akashic Records to find out how to make gravity-defying spacecraft that we
I guarantee you the government and governments around the world are doing that very thing, accessing the Akashic Record, accessing universal knowledge for military means, 100%.
Because I wonder, if there's anybody out there that believes that people can do this, but have like a difficult time believing that, you know, what we're seeing in the skies aren't actually aliens, that they are in fact vehicles
right.
that have been made utilizing this process to find out the information to make them.
Yeah, I'm sure there is those people. I mean, cognitive dissonance shows itself in a lot of weird ways, right? You could totally believe one thing and then another thing at the same time. I don't know. It's weird how that works, but no, those people exist. I think that this shit is totally real. I mean, if you ask me, I would think that all these important people going back in history, right? Like whether you're talking about like, you know, religious figures, whether they were prophets or messiahs or whatever they were, all, you know, or even like these great engineers and artists back in the day. I think all of these people were accessing the Akashic records, whether they meant to or knew it or not. I mean, you could be accessing this shit while you're dreaming and not know it, because again, when you're dreaming, you're in these other brain states. So when you're dreaming, you might be accessing Akashic records, have no recollection of it, wake up tomorrow with a great fucking idea that makes you $1 billion.
You saying that you can accidentally reach the Akashic records?
Yes, I think people do reach it accidentally. I think whether it's sleeping or whatever, I think people do reach it meditating. Not very many people in history, probably. You could probably put all the people who have meditated and gotten to that point, you could probably count them, like realistically, a few thousand people, maybe ever.
All right, right? Let's break this down. What exactly do people believe the Akashic records are? In like Barney style terms.
Well, there's a lot of different beliefs on that, I guess. But if you really want to get down to it, people literally think that there is a universal library,
right,
of all information, past, present, and future in the universe. Mm-hmm. And that's the information. And it's not necessarily literally a library, but it's, you know, it's just the information exists. Time is not linear, right? We've said that 1,000 times in this fucking show. Time's not linear. So if you have the ability to step outside of that linear perception of time, you can reach into the future, the past, or the present and just access information, you know?
So you're saying essentially that the Akashic records is the almanac from Back to the Future, and that people in... hold on, Jeremy. That people in whatever time frame, that's just the future information, but it would have your present day information too, and you know, some past information in there or whatever. Say it's the encyclopedia from like 20 or 2700 or whatever, right? And that's like, it has all the information from everything up to that point, but in this case it'd have it past. But so like when whatever her name is, the author of Harry Potter, says that she was showering and got the entire idea for the Harry Potter series in the shower, which is ridiculous, just mind-blowing. But let's just say that she accessed this and saw a future of herself making this series eventually, and just said, I'm going to access this right now.
Mm-hmm.
Or someone was going to. And then she said, I'm going to access it.
Exactly. Right. And that's a good example, because if she was in the shower, dude, I mean, think about it. You're in the shower, the hot water, it's steamy. Everybody's comfortable in the shower. It's like the best place to fucking be, at least for me. I love showers.
I'm
right?
the most stressed in the shower.
I chill in the shower, dude. I'm having a great time in there. And maybe she was just very calm, very, you know, maybe she was just accidentally accessed the Akashic records without even realizing it. Again, she could be totally conscious and just doing regular shit, taking a shower, but her subconscious mind may have accessed this and brought forth the idea. And maybe she's just taking a shower, like, oh, maybe I can make this series of books and that'd be cool. And then because of that inspired her to actually do it. And now look where she is. So she literally did the thing. But I think you're also thinking about this a little bit too complicated. Think about, like, I'll use religion as an example. God is omnipresent. God mm-hmm. knows everything that ever happened and ever will happen. And it, you know what I mean?
Right.
Think about it in a way to where if you can get to this state, you can access a little piece of that somehow. Right. So think about it from my perspective. Now, I believe that
the universe or the hologram or whatever, I think that that is God. I think it's the same thing. I don't think of it as a person. Like, God is not a single entity, right? I think it is the entity of everything, right? So if you can access that, you're getting a little piece of that know-all, all the time, omnipresent shit. You know what I mean?
That was a hippie answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you a pantheist?
I've been a hippie in my day. I went a year without shoes, for anybody who cares.
I
know plenty of people that don't wear shoes.
Yeah, I did that.
Most of the earth, I think, doesn't wear shoes.
Well, you live in California. It's normal.
No. No, there's definitely areas where they don't wear shoes, and then there's most of California where we're like, ugh.
Are you telling me that not all of California is LA?
Or San Francisco.
Or San Francisco?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
It's actually illegal to shit on the sidewalk in most places in California.
I don't know about that one. I think that that's a very broad sweeping thing. Like if I offend someone, I'm going to prison. But if I take a dump on their car, I'm good.
What if that offends me?
It doesn't matter. It's my right to take a dump on your car.
Oh, okay.
Because it's in my front yard.
Well, anyway,
and the street is my.
I don't think we're going to go any further unless you guys want to make this like a longer episode. It's up to you guys. But
I'm just trying to wrap my head around the whole Akashic Records thing because it just doesn't make any sense to me.
So,
like,
I found a pretty good definition, and I'm just going to throw the name of this website out there. It's a littlesparkofjoy.com. The question is asked: What
it sounds
happens...
like they don't wear shoes.
It does sound like that. Yes. Also sounds like they'll take a shit on your car.
Probably.
The question is asked, what happens in Akashic Records? The answer that they provide is, it is believed that when one enters the Akashic Records, you can access all information about your past lives, present and future lives, and also all information about the paths of others. In general, this record is considered a place where all truths are known. So basically, by accessing your all information from your past, future, and present life, and all of everybody else's, you basically have a library of the entire knowledge of history in the universe.
I wonder how many people that have accessed it, or they believe they've accessed it, and they say, oh, I was a prince in my last life, or I was a king, or I was royalty. There has not been enough royalty on the face of the earth through all the time in history for everybody to have known that they were royalty in their past lives. I have a huge bone to pick with that. No one ever says, yeah, I was a janitor, and then I died of lung cancer. Like, just like,
well, if
I
you
was
think
rich.
About, you could think about it this way, though. I mean, again, if time's not linear, we may have all lived an infinite number of lives already. And you know what I mean? So if that's the case, if the universe is infinite and time is infinite and we have lived an infinite number of lives,
we know
then
that's
we
not
have
the case.
We don't
can
know
see
that
the
it's
universe
not.
Expanding. So it's
we
expanding
don't,
from
oh,
somewhere.
Whoa, hold up. No. Actually,
yeah,
just the other
we
day,
we see the deterioration
just,
of things.
Just the
which
other
means
day,
that there was a beginning.
Just the other day that new studies came out with
the universe
with the new James Webb telescope that's apparently in fucking space, right?
I love it.
Apparently,
but you don't believe in that, so what
listen,
are you bringing
I'm
up?
Just saying, apparently, I'm giving you the new up to date information based
well,
on what you
what
just
say.
Said.
Fuck your up
based on what you just said. I'm just saying that the rate of expansion that they thought is no longer they can no longer base their estimations on that because they've got new data and the shit is off and they're like,
yeah.
Oh shit, this is
wrong. Yeah, because the telescope has been up there for how long? A couple months, right? So they have a big enough of a sample to tell that the Big Bang is false. Yes, that is
false is a strong term, but not what we thought. Something
not as big as whatever. Yeah. Maybe we're just going slower, but yeah, they've been up there long enough to be able to tell that, you know, all of
seeing changes from, you know, heavenly bodies moving at, you know,
Here's like we got up here and nothing's
100 million years. They move a millimeter and they're just like 20 minutes. That's easy enough. Look at that.
Here's a pop quiz for you guys.
Here we go.
Who can tell me what this person is related to first? Edgar Casey.
Edgar Casey.
I don't care though.
Edgar Casey.
Edgar Casey.
Edgar Casey. I've heard this.
John Wayne Casey.
You guys give up? Okay. So Edgar Casey was the guy who was like a super fundamental Christian guy who ended up doing the... He would go into hypnotized states or whatever, and yeah, he was bringing up the Atlantis shit, remember?
Yeah, he
would say that he was accessing the Akashic records. That was his claim.
Here's the thing, though, is that there's lots of people out there that claim to be Christians, and they do some pretty terrible stuff, or they're involved in witchcraft and all kinds of stuff. I mean, people are deceived, right? So, I mean, just because he says he's a Christian, but he's doing things like at first when we first went over that, it was announced that he was doing it accidentally and didn't know what he was
doing.
And
he wasn't,
but then
remember,
I looked
he had
into
a problem.
It and it turns out that he was doing it because he wanted
after
to.
The fact. Because so... but you have to remember that he had a problem with it. He was distraught, and even his kids said that he was super distraught for a long time because of this. But in my opinion, and I'm not going to tell you what to do, but in my opinion, we have to separate the idea of hypnosis or altered states of consciousness and that being an evil thing to do or non-Christian thing to do.
I'm not saying that it's evil in itself. I'm saying it opens you up to evil.
Well, that's totally possible, but
you're opening yourself up to suggestions outside of yourself, that whether that could be from another human being, could be from a spiritual being, could be from all kinds of stuff. It's something that shouldn't be trifled with, because the possibility that something good could come from it, okay, I mean, sure, I'm sure it's there. The possibility that something bad could come from it is pretty high. And if it's something bad, I mean, who knows? You could come out of your trance, your state that you're in, and then kill your whole family, like, you know, because something planted it in your head that you should.
The thing is I agree with you, but just because that's the case doesn't mean that people aren't doing it, right? That doesn't mean because it's dangerous, and I don't condone these kinds of things, because I'm with you. I think you're opening yourself up to entities who could be demonic or whatever the fuck. I don't do it, right? Edgar Casey could have been a fundamentalist Christian for all I know, and he might have been accessing this, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he was doing something that was evil or dark or anything like that. And I don't think that having that thought about those altered states of consciousness, right? Like, you can't just discredit it because you don't agree with it, right? Like, I agree with you, but at the same time, it's like, doesn't mean people can't do it. Maybe you are accessing and you're opening yourself up to shit, including things like the Akashic records.
I want to clarify real quick. I'm not saying that I know for certain that Casey was not a Christian. I'm saying that I don't take people at face value just because they say they're Christians. There has to be evidence of it, right? You should be doing the thing, right? What does your life represent?
Yeah, what
do you look
but
like?
But that's irrelevant to the conversation.
So,
but
the Akashic Records, I mean, how do we know that it's not as simple as you're communicating with spiritual beings that are telling you things that are just, you know, don't really have to do with anything except for materialism? And, you know, you access the Akashic records and you find out how to further your life materialistically, or, you know, how to reach some goal that has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with, you know, being a more spiritual person in that sense, or getting closer to God. All these, you know, I'd like to see someone who accesses the Akashic records, or claims to, and the ideas they pull out of it have nothing worldly to do with it. Mm-hmm. Where they're like, I found out how to have a more in-depth relationship with God.
Well,
they have this better understanding of that versus I can get super filthy rich and I can do all these sorts of things, because all that stuff is outside of, you know, it's worldly, right?
I think that, like, most people who do access the Akashic records are doing exactly what you're saying. I think that most people who actually get to that altered state and access some universal information, I think to them that it's a spiritual or religious experience, and they literally equate that to what that is, because that's literally what it is, right? I think that that's what it is. I don't think that there's a sign on the door when you show up that says, here's the Akashic Records. Go back and tell people that this is how you found Jesus was because you're at the Akashic Records. No, I think people have these enlightened states and these moments and they're literally like, wow, that was life-changing spiritual shit. And I accessed information like I can only equate to the God that I am aware of. That was a holy experience. And now I will dedicate my life to this energy that I acquired from this. And I think most people, that's what's happening. Not to discredit the God in any way. Again, I think it is the same thing. The universe, the Akashic Records, the omnipresent God. I think it is all the same thing.
Could you imagine if you were just slightly off those theta waves, right? If you were between
and your
theta,
brain exploded.
Well, if you were just setting your body to a certain frequency that isn't the frequency that they're talking about here in the gateway process, but just by being off slightly, what if you access something that you didn't mean to access?
Mm-hmm.
Like a demonic realm or
the demonic records.
The in between or some shit, the upside down.
The upside down.
But I'm serious. I'm serious. I mean, if you can streamline and condense your focus into this certain frequency where you can reach something that's considered positive, what's to say that you can't fuck up and reach something that is extremely negative? And I know we were talking about the riches and who would do good and who would do selfish acts and whatnot, but I'm talking about more of like a very, very dangerous thing.
That's like, real too. Yeah. Aleister Crowley was doing that exact same thing. I mean, that's why he had that house on Loch Ness, because he was opening port. He was doing a ritual that took, remember, like 6 or 9 months long or whatever it was, to do some negative energy, open a portal into some other shit. He was doing the exact same thing. He was just doing it on the opposite end of the spectrum, right? He was in the dark arts, black magic aspect of altered states of consciousness to access universal information of some kind. He was doing it on the dark end. What we're talking about here, and honestly, the gateway process doesn't even outline good or evil. This has nothing to do with it. This is just the scientific. But what I'm getting at is more on the lighter end of the thing. And like Jake was saying, yes, there are people online, right? They're like, oh, I used the Akashic Records and now I'm rich. And maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But I think most people, 99% of those people who actually get there, are the people who are having these religious experience and spiritual experiences and changing their lives based off of that.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Finding out what's really important and
redirecting themselves. So, I know you guys, you're not like the psychedelic types, but like I've had multiple psychedelic experiences in my life and almost every time it's profound. I come out of it with a new profound sense of who I am and what the reality around me is. And sometimes it's a really small thing, but it changes my life every time. Right.
So listen, dude, how dare you talk like you know me?
Well, I'm just, I just assume since you guys are government shills, but
whatever.
I don't do psychedelics. I have never done psychedelics because at first it was because I was never in a state where I felt comfortable with like, I'm going to have a good trip. Very angry individual growing up. Now I wouldn't, because I'm sober and I don't need another issue. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know about that. That whole.
Because think about it this way, Jake, right? Here's another way to think about this kind of thing, right? Regardless of if the event is real or not, the experience is real to somebody. So let's take it back 10,000 years, right? You're in the fucking Odyssey, right? You're on a boat sailing across like the Mediterranean and you're concerned that the Kraken is going to fuck your boat up, right?
Okay.
Now you'll never see the Kraken because it's not real. Well,
whoa,
maybe it is.
Let's
just say, right? Let's just say it's not real, right? So, like, you'll never see the Kraken, but the fear of the Kraken and like the stories. And again, we're 10,000 years ago. Like, you're so certain the Kraken is real that for all intents and purposes, the fucking Kraken's real, right? Okay. And it's the same with these types of experiences, I think, right? So, again, I could have a profound spiritual experience and I might equate that to a religious experience. And now I found Jesus and I'm on that path now, you know, and whether or not it was literally like Jesus that came to me that started that process or not, I'm still on that process. Like the event and like the whole thing, that's what matters. Like my experience matters as much as what really happened, if that makes sense.
Not following.
Okay, whatever, dude.
So I mean, do psychedelics, is it just like a shortcut?
You know? Yeah. Why do all this crap if you can just trip some acid or just do some, drop some acid and just
in a way, but not quite. I mean, you know, most psychedelics are done in a party setting. It's mostly set and setting. The drugs themselves are, yes, they're like a key to the door, right? But like the set and setting is way more important. And anybody who does psychedelics will tell you that. So yeah, if you're in the right set and setting and you take the right dose of the right thing, for sure, it'll help. You take it at a rave, it's not going to help.
Have you seen those studies that have come out very recently where people are using LSD to cure PTSD?
Yeah, and mushrooms to cure addiction.
Isn't that wild?
You know why? Because it's rewiring like the synapses and shit in your brain. Like it's literally disconnecting connections and reconnecting connections. That's what happens when you're like on a mushroom trip. So that's why when you come out of a mushroom trip, it literally changes your life. Because you have just formed new connections in the brain. Because
the spiders attacked you, but they didn't eat you.
Yeah. Pretty much.
They like me. Now I love spiders.
I don't know. I think Whitney said that she did the mushrooms once, and it was not good. Did the mushrooms.
Listen,
smoked the shrooms.
Psychedelics aren't for everybody.
Maybe it wasn't her. Maybe it was one of my friends. But yeah, definitely had a spiders crawling out of the mirrors type situation.
So
yeah,
I mean, it's not for everybody.
I may or may not have done it twice in my life. And the first time I just took the whole thing and just swallowed it and I threw it all up. But I still...
What an experience.
What an experience.
10 out of 10.
The second time we made like a Kool-Aid out of it and it was much more tolerable because it tasted like absolute shit.
Cardboard.
It's just not good. But the Kool-Aid one was pretty cool. I mean, pretty sure I just became useless. Thought I was sitting on the stairs for a long time. Well, I'll talk to you guys about that a little bit off air, but
this is all hypothetical, right?
Yeah, it's all yeah. Hypothetical. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I don't know. And maybe
he doesn't answer questions.
Maybe I, you know, if I had the chance, well, you know what? Just fuck it. I actually would really love to try DMT one time. I think that would be a really fun trip.
That's DMT. The most intense of all of it. That's
dude, out of all the stuff that I've heard, man,
okay, listen, let me just, that's a perfect fucking thing, dude, because my first DMT trip, I went to what I would consider as the Akashic Records. Okay. So I literally smoked the DMT, went through the tunnel of wildness, freaking the fuck out and blasted through, right? I broke through whatever it is. And I was in a zero gravity void, not space. There was no stars. It was just a black void with like a slight bluish hint to it, maybe. Void, zero gravity, laying there, right? And behind me, it seemed, I couldn't see it, but I could sense a giant that was probably, I don't know, a light year tall, okay? Holding my head like this, like cradling my head. Right. And I just had the overwhelming sense of comfort and nirvana, and this female entity that was holding my head was just kind of calming me and telling me everything was fine. And I was in this state literally forever. When I say that, I'm not exaggerating. I existed in that state of existence since before time existed till after time existed. For all of existence, I was there. And when I woke up, my boy told me it was 15 minutes.
I mean, that's not that impressive. I mean, we do that when we're dreaming. You have an entire dream with a storyline and everything, and it's 10 seconds long.
Right. But the difference was that I wasn't asleep. I was awake. I was just in such an altered state of consciousness that I accessed this awake. So when I came back, I was able to remember every fine detail. Whereas with a dream, everything's fuzzy and weird and you can't quite remember and put your finger on what the fuck was going on. This was like, I woke up and I was there. I was like, holy shit, I saw all of history. The problem with it was I wasn't able to retain all of the information that I got when I was there. I was only able to remember it for like a little bit, kind of like a dream, right? But now I just know that I knew all the shit.
So what happens to Infinite Rabbit Hole in 10 years? We still exist?
I don't know. Somebody could probably put me in a hypnotic state and get that information out of me. I'm sure that information exists somewhere. You know what I mean?
I'll tell you what happens in 10 years. Jeff finally takes a trip to Wisconsin in the summer.
Come to Florida.
That's a good chance. My dad lives down in St. Pete. So going to Florida and you know, hopping over, what is it, 75? Right?
75, 95, I-4.
Yeah. That's probably
doable. I don't know. I don't think I ever will do any type of psychedelics because it sounds like there's too much of a risk for something to go horribly awry.
It's not for everybody.
And I understand that. I do. But like I'm just like a naturally curious person.
You know? I'm not talking about you. This is me.
No, I know. I get it. Yeah. But just to go back to DMT, isn't it strange? It's like that's what your brain releases when you die. Like when you're about to die, your brain releases DMT. Like I don't know, man. It's just something about DMT that just is so interesting. You know what? One day we should do an episode on DMT.
We should all do DMT and then make an episode.
You smoke
about
it and you
it.
Just
and you're gone. No. I'm not talking about like on the drug. I'm talking about talking.
Okay.
Yeah. And like go into the background of DMT and everything and what you know, all the shared experiences that people have while they're on DMT
like,
and
do an episode while we're doing DMT.
Oh no.
Up our noses so we can see what our brain's doing while we're doing
it. All right, so for this episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole, we're all just going to drop DMT. Ready? Go.
Sliding back.
And 30 minutes later, and that has been another episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I think anybody who's interested in this gateway process thing or what we're talking about with this with psychedelics or DMT, go look up Rick Strassman and look up like the Spirit Molecule, which is a whole documentary on DMT. And you know, it's my belief and many other people's belief that your brain does that at the moment of death and while you're dreaming for a reason. And that is to purposely connect you to this altered state of consciousness, right? That is what ancients have talked about forever is that when you die, you, whether it's seeing the light or going to Valhalla or whatever the fuck it is, is that altered state.
You know, some say an altered consciousness, but there's also a lot of people that say the collective consciousness. That it's your body finally, or you leaving this body, this realm, and going into the collective consciousness to wait for your turn again.
Well, the document even said that. It even said that you have not only instantaneous telepathic abilities because you're resonating at the frequency of the earth, right? But that it's mentioned something else about being connected to anybody else who's also in that state. Right, that you have an instant connectivity, kind of like Jedi's. Right, remember how Jedi can like have the hologram talk with the other Jedi across the galaxy?
Dude, I've never seen Star Trek, bro.
You're fucking an asshole. Well, that's how it works, dude. They're Jedi, right? So they tune into the Force, which is what we're talking about. This holographic universe, universal everything, the Force.
Dude, what a fucking nerd.
They tune into it. And they meditate, and now they're having a Buddhism. Conversation with another Jedi who's also meditating and communicating. So they're doing the thing, right?
They're doing the thing, yeah.
So okay, this is a good example too. How do these people come up with these ideas to put them in movies, right? It's not just sci-fi that they just came up with this shit. The thought came into their mind on purpose because they achieved either the drugs. A lot of times it is the drugs, right?
Yeah.
Or they do have the ability, like the bitch said for Harry Potter in the shower. She just
wow.
JK Rowling.
Yeah, oh that lady. Gosh.
The bitch. Jeez, dude.
Sorry. No disrespect.
The
no
Harry
disrespect.
Potter broad, yeah.
Yeah, dude.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well, You guys ready to call this one?
Yeah, go ahead. Shut it down.
You want me to do it?
Yeah.
Jake, do you want to do it?
Well, that has been another divisive episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole. Join us next time as we argue more about whether or not the Akashic Records exist and whether or not this document is completely made up horse crap or it's true.
Well, actually, hold on. I'm going to correct you there for a second because our next episode is actually different. We will get back to this topic after the next episode.
That's right. We have our Thanksgiving episode, which is going to be a little bit different, but I'm sure you guys will enjoy it. No topic, just casual conversation with a really good fan. And I'm sure if you follow the Facebook page, Infinite Rabbit Hole, you will know who this fan is because they post on there very regularly.
Shit, if you listen to the show, you know who this fan is.
Yeah, that's true, too. If you're a fan, you'll know. Anyway.
Danny!
Okay.
Danny's coming on next week.
That's right. Anyway, this has been another episode of the Infinite Rabbit Hole. Thank you for joining us. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff. Just go to our website, infiniterabbithole.com. You'll find all the links to our socials. Leave us a voicemail if you'd like to. Also, just to kind of carry over from, I believe, last time, we are shutting down the merch store and moving to something easier with less options and at the end of the year. So if you want your t-shirts or whatever it is, me and Jeremy are both wearing the Simulation Theory shirts. Go ahead and grab that in the merch shop while it's still available, because we can't guarantee that it will be available afterwards. Might be getting rid of a lot of stuff. But anyway, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time down the next path of the Infinite Rabbit Hole. Bye.
Bye.